Accession number 20456, reel 23.
Brigadier Wilson, reel 23. You're saying that you had positions in houses around the bridges. How would you prepare those houses for defence? What would the jocks do?
Well, I mean, what you did is you knocked fire hells in them. Remembering your Korean houses and that part of it, a pretty thin walled thing. So you just knocked fire hells in them and made firing positions in places for mutual defence area, as much as you did. That was all we did.
But you weren't actually engaged?
No.
By the Chinese in
no.
that area?
No.
Did they have any artillery support?
Oh, yes. Mm. Oh, yes, we could have had. They had artillery on the south back of the Han, very much so.
What about the other side? Did the Chinese have any artillery that you were aware of?
Yes, I one heard the old shell going off. Mm. It wasn't a very serious battle, the Battle of Seoul.
Mm. How did you get away then from
March.
Seoul?
Walked over the bridge. Mm. I was quite used to it, having done Singapore.
So you went over the bridge on foot, then the bridge went up behind you.
That's it, then we got into transport. Mm.
What happened when you got south of Seoul? What was the...
Well, we drove south for about 70 miles to a place called Changhai Wan Ni.
Yes.
Where, again, the brigade concentrated... And we reorganized, ready to carry out Ridgway's new plans, which were to go up on a broad front over the hills. And in the meantime, we were sending long-range patrols out towards Seoul to find out what was happening. 29 Brigade were on our left, and they were at a place called Suwon.
Yes. What sort of range would a long range patrol?
Oh, they were quite long. They were sort of 10, 12 miles.
Yes.
We never really contacted hardly any Chinese. Mm. They ran out of steam again.
Yeah. Were these patrols done in transport or were they done
in transport? In transport.
What sort of strength would they
be? Well, in Land Rovers, trucks, the odd tank or armored car. Mm.
And what would you send, a platoon or something like that?
That's about it, yes. Yes. They were a fairly self-contained force that could fight if necessary.
Mm. How long would they be away for?
Maybe a day. Mm.
And you said they didn't have many encounters. What happened when they did encounter the...
Well, they
Chinese?
Sort of... They got out of it. I mean, the idea was to try and spot where the Chinese got to, you know. Mm. And in what sort of strength? Mm. But it wasn't very serious.
Did Ridgway's new ideas about how you were going to carry on the fighting require any retraining?
No. No, you see, we'd train in Hong Kong. I mean, we'd always, 29 Brigade being pretty transport, this had always taken to the hills. That's where we kept out of trouble.
Yes.
We went for the high ground always. We were never caught. We were never caught on the flat.
So you were south of Seoul, and presumably you were awaiting developments. How long did that period of waiting last?
I suppose it was about 2 weeks, 3 weeks, and we started going forward again. Hell Army. There were no gaps in the middle.
It's a solid front.
Well, as much as solid as you can be when you're in dirty, great, mountainous country.
But in the meantime, I think you'd acquired your Korean porters.
We acquired them, we got used to them, yes, yes.
How many of them did you have attached to the company? What scale of issue were they?
Ooh, I suppose I had about 20. Mm. They carried... water, reserve ammunition, that sort of thing, reserve rations.
How did you actually communicate with them?
We all had at least one or two English-speaking Koreans. Mm. They were paid. eventually, that was after we left, they were put into uniform and sort of almost absorbed into the British Army and the American Army. But these were in perfectly ordinary Korean players.
Were they locally recruited?
Locally, yes. Well, they wanted to fight, but there were no weapons for them, so they joined us.
Did they have any particular habits that you had to get used to? You mentioned sort of getting used to having them. Was there anything you had to train them to do?
No. They were very highly intelligent people, the Koreans. They were very easily dealt with.
Were they regarded as a sort of company asset?
Very much so. They became almost pets, you know. Typical British soldier. and what is more, you see, as far as they were concerned, they got all the sort of extra rations that we didn't want. And they did pretty well.
But, I mean, were they held at company headquarters, or were they dished out to platoon?
Well, I mean, it depended where you were. Basically, speaking, company headquarters looked after them, but they could be dished out to platoons for going up a particular hill.
What about your own soldiers? Did they have to carry an additional load because they were operating away from
Well, first of all, he carried his, apart from his normal kit, he carried his sleeping bag, which was his, and very important it was too, plus a half tent.
Yes. That was something new, wasn't it, having half tents?
Well, they were ground sheets that you made into...
Yes. Right. Well, like, was this like the poncho?
Yes, a poncho, waterproof. Certainly.
But if you were going to be operating away from road, even though you had the Korean porters to assist, presumably your own soldiers would have had to carry additional supplies to...
Well, we only carried our own rations.
But they carried the additional supplies. When had you been given the sleeping bags? When had they been issued?
Well, I wasn't. I got my sleeping bag at Pak Chon. It belonged to a dead soldier from 61st Artillery Battalion.
I see.
We weren't really. That was a problem. The British Army had lovely airborne sleeping bags when I was in Palestine.
Yes.
But I think 29 Brigade had them. We didn't have them. We just had some blankets sewn together.
So you made your own sleeping bags?
Someone made them for us. Mm. I don't know. They were not very efficient sleeping bags.
When this offensive started, the advance forward, you said that you were going forward slowly, regaining ground.
Yeah.
What sort of actions were you undertaking to regain the ground? Were you doing formal set-piece battles, or were you pressing up against the enemy?
No, what you did was you went up the ridges of hills. Mm. If you can imagine hills, if you had a company, you might have two ridges with half your company up one and half up the other. Mm. And, of course, one wretched chap in front, more or less. But the point about it was, if you can imagine a hillside with a lot of people coming up the hill all together, up the ridges, it's not so easy to defend from the opposition side of things.
What if they're going along it laterally rather than...
Well, we're going up, I mean, again, here's your ridge line, okay?
Yeah.
And then you have sort of odd... From the ridge line, you have ridges going up it.
Mm.
And you go up these ridges.
Yes.
Probably all within mutual support of each other.
And would you be going up in single file?
Well, yes. Sometimes yes.
Yes.
I mean, you've made it difficult to deploy on knife edges.
Absolutely, yes.
But the point is that if he got held up, he could possibly...
They could give fire support.
Yeah.
And what sort of positions would the Chinese hold on such a...
Oh, well, they were very cleverly camouflaged. That was the problem. They let you get up and then shot you at close range. I lost one or two excellent guys like that. There was nothing you could do about it.
How close would they let you get before they would open fire normally?
50 yards.
50 yards. Could you actually spot position or?
Yes, you could.
You could.
Sometimes you could, and sometimes you could, and then you let them have it. You see, and then that was okay.
Were these positions dug deep? Because I know that in places the Chinese were renowned for tunnelling and digging.
Oh yes, no, this wasn't tunnelling. This was not a tunnelling battle. That came later.
Yes.
That the tunnelling stuff came on the hook when it became static.
Yes, but here, what sort of? How
oh,
deep
they were ordinary sort of sit-outs.
Yeah, and if you did encounter a position on one of these subsidiary ridge lines, what sort of numbers would you normally run up against?
Not very many. You could at the top. But, I mean, we then...
And these would be outposts, really, wouldn't
well,
they?
Well, these are outposts. Yes. You see, they were very annoying outposts. Mm. But what you did do, you got every form of artillery fire you could think of, mortar fire, down on them.
Yes.
And not pleasant. Mm. You know.
Could you ever actually bypass them rather than having to go through them?
Not easy. Yeah. Yes, you could bypass them by going up another ridge.
Yes.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, could you bypass them and leave them behind, or would you have to eventually deal with them? And
well,
them
no, they would usually go if you bypassed them.
Yes.
They knew the form. They didn't want to be called.
Yeah. And what about the positions actually on the tops of the main ridges, the principal features?
Well,
how were they laid out normally?
That was a problem. You didn't know until you got there. Mm. There you had much more of a set-piece battle to get them. Mm. But this was sort of what I call set-trench warfare. This was not tunneling.
No. Set-trench warfare is a standard infantry defensive position.
That's it, yes.
And would it be fair to say that what gave you the critical advantage was your fire support?
Yes, what they couldn't do, you see, they could not hold the whole line.
Because there weren't enough of them.
There weren't enough of them, nor did they have the artillery weapons to do it. So therefore they had to hold the lay line. Occasionally you came across them where they were in a very strong defensive position, and then you had a fair shootout. Middlesex had one, the Australians had one, where, they determined to defend a particular area. Mm. And then you had a fairly good set-piece battle.
You were saying they didn't have the artillery. Did they have any sort of heavy weapons?
Oh, yes, they did.
What did they have?
Well, they had very good mortars. Mm. And they had, later on, some very good medium artillery. Luckily, not much came our way. We were out of it before they really got down to the artillery.
What about air support on our side? Were you able to use that?
Oh, yes. That was a big thing. Mm. By day, but of course by night, ha-ha. No. Mm.
Did you do a lot of attacks at night?
No, but night was always a bit scary because of the fact of infiltrating patrols and things.
What, them infiltrating into our area?
Yes.
When they lost a position, if they'd lost a position on Ridgetop, would they try to counterattack to take it back?
If they wanted it, yes. Mm. Yes.
Were they ever successful against you in doing that?
Sometimes yeah. Not. Mm. It depended. Mm. Depended how good you were. Mm.
Did they have wire?
When I was there.
No.
They did later on. Mm.
But not in this mobile.
Not. We left in April 52. April 51. And they didn't have it then. Mm.
During this phase, and you're advancing northwards towards Seoul.
No, they had no wire.
They had no wire. Did they use obstacles of any sort?
Yes. Nasty little mine things, yes.
Yes.
Mostly homemade.
What, improvised?
Yes, a grenade and a jam tin with a wire. Mm. Yes.
Could you do anything to overcome those?
Yes, providing you could spot it. Mm. You merely disconnected the wire, cracked it, bung the grenade over the hill somewhere. But heaven help you if you trip one up. Mm.
What do you think was the most effective support you got then? Would it be from the air, or would it be from artillery, or from your own mortars and Vickers guns when you were having to clear this sort of mountaintop defensive position?
Oh, providing you had it, of course, artillery. Didn't always have it. You see, we didn't get our own gunners, the New Zealand gunners, till January 51.
Yes.
They were very good. We had to rely on American gunners. The American gunners were lent to us by the American division, and they might need their own. So, therefore, we were short of artillery support to start off with. Once we had the New Zealanders, times changed. But the air support was quite magnificent. Marvellous.
It sounds as though what you were saying earlier on about the aircraft knocking out the T-34s.
Yes.
And from this, as though the air was really a factor of critical importance.
Oh yes, the air was very, very, very good indeed. They got it up to a very high standard of support. And you see, what open country there as opposed to Vietnam. They could see their targets.
Yes. Mm. When they were, if you did bring in an airstrike on a mountaintop position, what sort of weapons were they using against that? Would it be?
Well, both rocket and cannon.
Rocket and cannon.
Yes. Mm. Yes.
What about ordinary conventional bombing? Did they do any of that?
Well, I don't remember seeing all that many bombs. It was mostly rockets by then. They did have them, yes, certainly. But my memory is more rockets. Mm.
Did you manage to take any prisoners during this stage when you were going forward and clearing the...
No, very few. I can't think how many prisoners we took. It was very, very few.
Did these chaps stand and fight until you made a final assault with grenade and bayonet when you were doing an attack, or did they tend to decamp once you got close enough to the last rush?
It depended what sort of battle you were in. They certainly stood and fought at Pak Chong.
Yes.
It depended.
I'm thinking about during this stage when you were advancing.
Oh, no, the hill thing. No, this was delaying.
Yes.
They were delaying actions. They weren't terribly interested in holding a particular hill. They were interested in keeping a screen for their main forces.
Mm. How close would they let you get then normally before they would abandon a position?
50, 60 yards. Mm. I don't remember, except again, Pak Chong, any actual hand-to-hand combat.
Hmm. I didn't think you described the hand-to-hand at Pak Chong. What happened?
Well, there was. We did a bayonet charge at Sari Wan. Hmm. Certainly, they stood and fought, and they were driven off by one of my platoons about it. But Pak Chong a bit. No. It was that stage of war, up to April, just before they attacked the Gloucesters.
Yes.
Was very much, as far as they were concerned, a holding. Mm.
Holding and delaying.
Yes, yes.
What about armour? Was it possible to use armour in any way in this?
Well, you could use armour purely as supporting fire. Mm. I mean, you couldn't get armour up the hills.
No. But presumably if the hilltop was close enough, they could put...
Oh, yes. My goodness me, yes. Mm. Very useful, too. But you see, again, 27th Brigade, we never had any armour of our own. That came later with the Commonwealth Division.
So you had to borrow?
Yes, we were allotted tanks from the Americans, who were very good.
You mentioned that the Princess Patricia's Canadian...
Yes, they appeared.
Joined the 27th Brigade. Can you remember exactly, you know, when that was? And
I think it was about February 51.
Did this mean the brigade became a four battalion?
Then it became a four battalion brigade.
How did you get on with them?
Very well. Great carry, chaps. Tremendous. But they were very raw. They were very new to it. It took them about 6 weeks to sort of settle down. But they were jolly good.
Were you able to give them any assistance in learning how to live?
Well, not really, because there wasn't time, you know. One was getting on with it. But, I mean, they sort of learnt by experience.
Learning on the job.
Yeah, yeah.
I think you're saying that in 8 weeks you gained about 30 miles or so in that hill country altogether.
Well, 30 miles is about right, yeah, probably. Yes,
going forward. Was this a fairly steady advance, or were you advancing in a sporadic way, pushing on for a couple of days and then stopping and then pushing on again?
That was a better description. You push on for a couple of days. Because you got to the top of some dirty great hill.
Yes.
Then you had a valley. Then you had to think how you were going to get across that valley. Then you had to think how you were going to resupply yourselves across the valley. So therefore, you couldn't just go tearing on there.
What was the determining factor? Was it this question of logistics, of replenishing?
I think so. I was a mere company commander, but I would guess yes.
How were you resupplied? Was there a sort of battalion point to which your porters would go to pick up rations? And
well, each day an escorted supply column of Korean porters would come up to your company, dump the stuff, and then go back down again.
Well, and then your porters would.
Well, they were our porters. If we were going forward, our porters would then stay with us. Mm. Yeah. But if we were static, it was a
backwards and forwards.
Yeah, yeah.
How long could you keep going, you know, as a company without being resupplied from battalion? Do you think?
We carried 48 hours rations, which would last more than that.
Yes.
It could rather depend on water, but that didn't matter in the hills because of all the snow. Mm. Well, yes, but drinking snow water brings its horrors. We were
really?
All de-tapewormed afterwards.
Oh, I see. Yes.
Not a pleasant experience. It's difficult to say. I think the longest time I ever did without a resupply was something like 72 hours. But we managed all right.
Do you have any idea of how many casualties you had during this movement forward to?
Yes, not very many. I mean, I could look it up in the book.
It wasn't anything serious then.
The what?
It wasn't serious. You didn't have serious.
It wasn't?
You didn't have serious casualties.
No, except the seriousness was in the standard of guy who was killed.
Yes, presumably.
I lost my best platoon commander 4 days before the end. It's called Karim, you see.
What happened to him? How did he happen to him?
Well, I thought I was away in Japan. Well, the usual thing, going up a spur, someone saw something and said, watch it. And he said, nonsense, not there. Stepped forward, put up his glasses to have a look, and was absolutely shot straight through the head. Mm. I mean, a young, very brave chap, he shouldn't have done what he did, you know, but okay, that's the way people lead others.
Indeed, yes. Well, the leading man is the man most at risk,
isn't
he?
That's it, you see. There were other ways of dealing with it, but there we are. And he hadn't quite got the... He was a miles guy. He hadn't quite got the experience. Mm.
How did this advance come to an end, then? Did it come to an end when you got up into the area around the...
How what?
How did this advance come to an end, eventually?
How did the...
Advance come to an end? What?
Well, it didn't. I mean, it didn't. It went on and on and on.
Yes.
But, I mean, there were various checks. There was first of all the Gloucester battle.
Yes.
Then there was the battle at Cap Yong.
Yes.
There were various places that the Chinese counterattacked us.
Hmm.
But it didn't come to an end.
Hmm.
It eventually ground to a halt when we got over the 38th parallel and we got to places like the Hook,
yeah,
where the Chinese really had reinforced themselves and got their artillery and were determined to hold on.
Hmm. So, but in the meantime, you said you had 5 days leave in Tokyo.
We all did, sort of, yeah.
But I mean, this was presumably before the advance came to its...
Oh, Lord, yes.
Yeah, so
yes.
You've been in the field, you've been advancing for a couple of months.
Yes.
Or so, and then what happened? Did you get pulled out into reserve as a battalion?
Well, we were sent home.
Yes.
We were sent back to Hong Kong.
But I mean, presumably your leave came before that, didn't it?
Yes, it did.
Yes. How was that done?
There was a roster of leave.
Yes.
You took your turn.
So it's just that your turn came up.
Yes.
Mm. Who took over the company while you were away?
My second command, John McDonald.
Mm. What was there to do in Tokyo when you were on leave?
I stayed with a great friend of mine who had been in the regiment. He'd been a prisoner of the war. Mm. He was number one of Shell in Japan. The embassy was very kind to us. I mean, one was able to buy China and things. I'm not at all sure you came back from leave in the worst state than you were.
On what account would that be? The sake?
Oh, the general entertainment, you know. When you're used to living like a tramp in the open, it is unsettling to come back to civilization.
And more unsettling to go back to being a tramp.
Exactly. Mm. You have it. Mm. You have it. You've got out. You've got out of sync, as it were.
Mm.
Yeah.
You were saying that you got attacked again at Cap Yong. What happened there? Did you run into solid opposition? And
no, we were sort of withdrawn. A Korean corps had taken over in front of us, and 28th Brigade were withdrawn for a rest, having bashed the mountains for 2 months.
Mm.
And suddenly the Chinese decided to have a go in the centre.
Mm.
And Cap Yong was really an Australian battle, but indeed Canadians. But we were literally sort of 1 foot on the lawyer to go home.
Yes.
So we missed Cap Yong. We were there for the first 2 nights of Cap Yong, that was all.
Was your company engaged in any fighting, or were you...
I fired a couple of rounds, I think, yes, at some people. No, not really.
Hmm. And was this an encounter battle? Did you...
No, not an encounter battle. It was a defensive battle. The Chinese were coming tearing down.
So you were ready to receive them, or the brigade was ready
we eventually were ready to receive them. We'd had a great party the night before with the New Zealand gunners.
Hmm. How long before going back did you know that you were going to be withdrawn?
About 4 days. We had to hand in our heavy weapons to a pool to be handed over to the KSBs. I have to say, it's not a very pleasant sensation knowing that you're going to be relieved.
Why not?
And then having the bloody Chinese come at you again. You know what I mean?
When you think
you've
it's
sort
all
of
over.
Relaxed, you've slipped into another gear.
Yes. What was the general response to the news that you were going to be withdrawn? And
well, I mean, it was the second time. We should have been withdrawn way back in November.
Yes.
Nothing exceptional. Mm. Nothing, not really.
Was there a sort of formal handover to the KOB?
Not really, no. Got into a valley, you know, exchanged trucks and things, and off we were.
They came up in trucks and...
They came up, yes, that's it.
Moved into your trucks and you moved into theirs.
That's it. They were in action 48 hours later. There was no actual formal handover.
Mm.